You guys want the good news or the bad news first? I heard bad and good. That was mixed. The good news first. I'm about to deliver my best sermon of the year. I'm excited about it. The bad news is the first sermon of the year. Some of you caught that early, but some of you will get it later. I love the Word of God, and it's, for me, the hardest thing is how to condense it to a point or two and try to refine it so that it's digestible. And because I know I get overwhelmed when I sit under too much teaching and too many things coming from too many different angles. And the Word of God is so rich and beautiful and just life-giving, and I want to give it all to you. So I try not to do that. So if I do, I apologize. But the Word of God should enrich our lives. It should change our lives. It should change and shape our thinking, our actions, the way we manage our time, the way we manage our abilities, the way we manage our finances, the way we manage our relationships. God's Word gives us instruction for all of those pieces, all of the facets of life. And I was quite a few years ago talking with this gentleman. He's like, "Have you ever read the Bible?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you know, like, it talks about stuff in there, like stuff that happens still today?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Is there anything God didn't think about?" I'm like, "I don't think so." But he was new to the Word and just discovering, like, this was written thousands of years ago and God knew it and it's happening today. And that's what the Word of God should be like. It should be a joyride as you read and learn and know the Word of God. And it's a life-giving experience. And I love reading passages that I've read many times, and then all of a sudden it's like God hits me with a brick. I'm like, I finally get it. Or I get a new revelation that I hadn't got out of that passage before. So I'm starting a series today titled Journey with Jesus. Once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on a journey with Jesus. Sometimes we forget to take Jesus on our journey, but he is always available and ready to go with us. Do you ever hang Jesus up in the closet for a while? Forget to take him in your thoughts? Forget to take him in your mind? Forget to take him in your heart? Forget to take him wherever you go? Sometimes. Well, Jesus came. John talked about this during communion quite a bit, but Jesus came for there to be a new you. That's what Christ offers us. The old man has gone, the new has come. So journey with Jesus, number one, new you. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to start it off. Second Corinthians chapter 5 starts off awaiting the new body. And then the second part of the passage is the ministry of reconciliation. And we're going to be reading out of that, starting at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it starts out with therefore. And the therefore is talking about Christ came and died for all, paid for all, made a way for all. He has reconciled us to the Lord through his sacrifice, his blood and body on the cross. What we just received at communion, what we were talking about there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 22, or 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a powerful passage. And typically it's the offender that goes to make reconciliation, which means I need to admit I've done wrong. I need to ask forgiveness. I need to offer to make restitution to make things right if I've wronged you or harmed you in a financial gaining or losing way. But God is just the opposite. He, the perfect, unoffending one, comes to us and says, I want to have a right relationship with you. I want to pay the debt that you owe so you can be in right standing with me. Completely backwards for our way of thinking. Completely backwards of how you think it should be us saying, God, what can I do? What can I pay? I want to be in right standing with you. But no, he first came to us. That's reconciliation. He said, you know what? The debt's yours, but I'm going to pay it so we can be in right standing. I'm going to make things right. I'm going to offer to pay. I'm going to offer to give. The new way of Jesus in us is not a normal way of thinking. It's often called an upside down kingdom. God's principles are sometimes upside down from the ways of this world, from what we learn and know here on earth. Verse 17, the new is here, the old is gone. There should be a transformation, a change within us. The new should show through. Verse 18, thank you, Jesus, God who reconciled us to himself. Thank you, Lord God. The new you should be a thankful you, one who looks for opportunity to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord God Almighty. Verse 19 said, God's not counting people's sins against them. When I sin and I sin and I sin and then I ask forgiveness, God wipes it. He remembers it no more. He doesn't have a pile, so next time I sin, he goes, oh, but Arby, remember last time, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that? His word says he's not counting our sins against us unless we are too proud to repent. We must go before God and repent. Say, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. And then he remembers it no more. He doesn't count it against us. He doesn't have a stockpile that he's going to throw in our face one day. Say, but remember Arby. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, be thankful for that every day. Thank you that you are a forgiving, loving Father who receives us again and again. Verse 20, he invites us to be Christ's ambassadors. We are supposed to be Christ's representatives throughout the earth, going in his power and authority, in his name, not of my own, but his, representing him well throughout the earth. We do this, why? To become the righteousness of God. The new me should be acting like the righteousness of God. How are my actions? How are my words? How are my deeds? What reflection am I showing people when I'm around them? Who do they see? Hopefully they see Jesus, or at least more of Jesus than Arby. Hopefully they see more of Jesus than you, because that's who we're called to be. That's what we've been invited to. It's much more than just getting to heaven. We've got work to do while we're here on this earth. We've been invited into part of his plan, part of his kingdom. I don't know if you guys watch football at all. I don't. But I had a friend show me, the Boise State head coach of football down there. He's like, you've got to see this guy's interviews. They're so awesome. And he doesn't talk football. He talks Jesus in his interviews. He goes, I believe, and he starts pulling out scripture after scripture, and I believe according to the word of God that I'm here for such a time as this, and I'm the Boise State head football coach for such a time as this, not to lead men onto the field as football players, but to lead men into the kingdom of God. And like his whole post-game speech is that way, and it's awesome. He's like, and whether we win or lose, like I'm teaching young men to be men of God. It's like, that's being an ambassador of Christ wherever you find yourself. There's ministry to be done throughout the world. Wherever we find ourselves in recreation or play or life's enjoyment in a workplace, there's ministry to be done. On the journey with Jesus, being the new you, God, I'm going in your power and authority. And I'm going to represent you well no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing. I'm going to let your light shine through me. In Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, a little bit of instruction of how we should operate. Titus chapter 3, this passage is titled, Saved in Order to Do Good. Not saved from doing good, but saved in order to do good. God has good works for you and I to do and complete and fulfill, but they're not attached to our salvation. They're because of our salvation. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. There's a lot in that passage too. Starts out with a little bit of social conduct, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in some of the social settings as journeying with Christ. Sometimes we forget to take Jesus with us when we go to meetings, when we go to conferences, when we go to have conversations, when we go to coffee. Do you take Jesus with you and represent him well wherever you go? Do you live according to this list? Verse 3 says, at one time or another, we too were sinners. We too walked in a way that was not pleasing to the Lord. Don't forget where you came from. Sometimes we get proud and get haughty eyes and we think we're better because we have salvation. And we forget that Jesus loved us even when in our sin. And we forget that Jesus loves them even in their sin. No matter where they're at, no matter where we're at, Jesus loves us. Jesus' love doesn't save us. My acceptance of him saves me. He loves us no matter what. We have to choose him as our Lord and Savior and believe that he is the Son of God. But don't forget that we once too were sinners And Christ still loved us. God still offered us the ministry of reconciliation and extended it to us. Don't look down on those, but look at them as someone who just needs hope. Someone who has not yet found the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Someone who has not yet experienced the joy of the Lord. Someone who has not yet tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Someone who has not yet experienced the kindness, the goodness of God that leads them to repentance. Remember, people are one encounter away from giving their life to Christ. Whenever you meet them, whenever you see them, they are one encounter away. What if my judgmental, critical thinking or words to them were supposed to be that one moment to introduce them to the Holy Spirit, to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ? And instead, I got proud. I got arrogant. Remember when Christ died for you, when you were still a sinner. Verses 4 through 7, it is God's kindness and love that leads us to repentance, that allows us to have a Savior. It is not because of us, not what we've done, but because of what Christ did for us. We have renewal by the Holy Spirit. This isn't something we have to conjure up, but it's something we have to engage with. We can renew our mind to the mind of Christ. We can renew our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. But we have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and His work of renewing us. We have a generous Savior. We have been justified by grace. We have hope and eternal life. But it's not all about eternal life. That's the end game. We all want to get there. But in the meantime, we have work to do. We've been given a command. Go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching and training them in all my ways. That's our mission. That's what we are supposed to be about, the Father's business and doing. In Matthew 26, 6 through 13, we have Jesus in action. Jesus is on journey in life just a few days before his crucifixion. And Jesus shows us how to live out some of these principles that he talks about, some of the newness that we are supposed to experience. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So Jesus is on his journey. His disciples don't yet get it. I think he's understanding his time is near. His death is near. He knows what Mary is doing, anointing him for burial. It was the custom of their day that if you were crucified or killed as a criminal, that you didn't get anointing oils upon you for burial. So she was doing this before that process took place. Sometimes things don't look like we think they should. Sometimes things are a little bit different. We need to stop and pause and say, God, what are you up to? I don't understand. I don't get it. Anybody ever had that time of life where you just had to like, what's going on, Lord? A time or two? If not, you will. God's building and growing our faith, our trust in him. Will you believe me when you can't see? Will you trust me when it doesn't look like it's going to work out? Will you trust me with your whole heart? Several things in this passage here that we're going to look at that are new. New health. Starts out, Jesus is at the house of Simon the leper. Simon was a very common name of the day. And if you notice throughout Scripture, there's lots of Simons in the passages. There's Simon Peter and Simon of Cyrene and Simon the leper, which the leper is not what you want to be known as. Leprosy was horrible. It was a horrible skin-eating, flesh-eating disease where, like, literally your fingers fall off and hands fall off and arms fall off and it physically eats and rots your body away from the outside in. So the last thing to go is all of your organs. It's a horrible, wicked disease. And they would have leper colonies outside the communities where if you got leprosy, you had to go live with other lepers and you weren't welcome back into society. And people would go out and drop off water and food for you and you would have to go out and get it at the set place. So what happened with this Simon the leper? Jesus touched him. He was healed of leprosy, which in that day was incurable. It was, you're going to die a very slow, painful death from this. So apparently Jesus healed him somewhere in his ministry, but he was still known as the leper. Simon the leper, the one who had leprosy, whom Jesus touched and restored his health to fullness. John talked about that a little bit as we receive communion today. Christ came to heal the sick. Christ came to restore the brokenhearted. Christ came to heal and restore physical, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being. All that we need is in Christ Jesus. And as John talked, we come and receive, and Lord God, I need this from you today. God, I believe in your word. It says it's available to me. I believe in your word. It says that you paid for it all for me. And I receive it. And I've been in places where it was instant and miraculous and happened like that. And I've been in places where we waited a decade or two and believed in faith and continued believing and receiving, saying, God, I believe it, I receive it. I had to continue in our faith. So wherever you're at in your journey with Jesus, know that he has newness of health available to you. In verse 7, the woman came with the alabaster box, a very expensive perfume. As we'll read in the next passage, this isn't just like, hey, look what I got at the mall. This is like an alabaster box of perfume that is a year's wages. And she dumps it over Jesus' head. Think about it. Where are your priorities? This was her future. This was probably her dowry for her marriage. Her whole future she put in Jesus' hands, or rather on his head. Think about it, dumping $30,000 to $80,000 just out on someone, out of your surplus. What cost would that be to you, a year's wages? Maybe she was really wealthy and it was $1 million. Just offloaded on Jesus. But when we journey with Jesus, we need new priorities. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things I will add unto you according to my riches in glory. The disciples were talking in that passage about what will we eat, what will we wear, where will we stay? And Jesus is like, Do the sparrows worry about that? No. And I know every one of them. And when they fall, I take care of them. Do the flowers worry about it? No. He says, how much more I love and care for you that I will take care of you. As we journey with Jesus, we need new priorities. They need to align with the Word of God. What does God say? In verse 8, the disciples saw this and were like, what? Why this waste? Sometimes we need a new perspective. She was anointing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, for his burial. What greater thing could she have done with that perfume or the money earned from it? Nothing. Here we are over 2,000 years later, still talking about her. Look at this amazing thing, Mary. No one else got to do this. Mary got to anoint him for his burial. Mary got to do that because she adjusted her priorities. She changed her perspective. Sometimes we need a new perspective, and Jesus offers us this as we journey with him, if we will keep our eyes and minds open to his will and his way, our hearts in tune with this Holy Spirit. Verse 9, this perfume could have been sold at a high price. We need to make sure we have new value. What do we value? What do you value in your life? House is on fire. What's the first thing you grab? The world's ending tomorrow. What's the first thing you do? What do you value? I would go climb Mount Kilimanjaro. I would. What would you do? I would start calling all my friends and family that I'm unsure of their salvation and plead with them to choose Jesus. But what do you value? There was a time in my life I probably wouldn't have said that. I would have said something else. I'd fly to New Zealand and hunt red stag. That would be fun. How would you spend your last day on earth? What do you value? When we journey with Jesus, we have a new value system. We have a new value system. And that's with our morals and our character, as well as finances and prioritizing time, energy, and resources. Our value system should align with the Word of God, what we put value on. In verse 10 through 13, Jesus is telling the disciples, hey, leave this woman alone. She's done an amazing thing. This is wonderful, you just don't get it. And she somehow gets it a little bit. They're going to talk about her for forever. Sometimes we need new insight. We need new insight. What's really going on behind the scenes? What's really going on behind the mirror? Sometimes we look at what we see immediately and we don't look any deeper. But when we look deeper, when you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? They say, fine. Oh, that's great. Have a good day. But when we have insight, we see deeper. That fine meant my life sucks right now, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this week. So when we have new insight, we stop and we pause and we take time. Hey, Arby, what's really going on? Put your name in there. Put somebody's name in there you talk to. Engage with some conversation. But when we journey with Jesus, we have that new insight. It's a craft that takes time to build and create and know and develop. Not always easy. But if we stop and pause and we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, He will show us. I can't tell you how many gas station and grocery store and restaurant conversations I've had with people because of the Holy Spirit. Several of which were headed home to end their life. What if I was too busy that day? What if I wasn't listening that day to the fine behind the fine? Or I'm okay. Those are the moments Jesus invites us into if we'll partner with Him, if we'll journey with Him. Say, God, give me new insight. The same passage written in John chapter 12, just by one of the other disciples, so it gives us a new perspective. Perspective of John chapter 12 of this same encounter. 12 through 8, or chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. John's perspective, slightly different, a few more details or different details. Have you ever sat in a room with people and had five different answers leave the room from five different people? That's kind of what the Gospels are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different disciples telling a lot of the same stories from their perspective of what went on that day. And then it gives us the full scope of the Gospel. Again, Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead, is there in the room. Do you need that new health? How about new life? Our God is powerful and amazing and still alive and well. He dwells among us. And I wish there was a perfect recipe for healing and miracles and raising people from the dead. And the big picture is trust in God and let Him do what He's supposed to do. And you do what you're supposed to do. Believe and have faith, even when you don't get the results you desire. What does Jesus say in the garden? Not my will, but yours be done. He lays it out. God, this is what I would prefer. If this cup can pass, let it. We have to be okay with saying, God, your will and not mine. Jesus brought a new way of life. Jesus brings to us a new way of life, a new way of doing things. Jesus brings to us a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding, a new way of doing, a new way of being, a new way of giving and receiving. Have you experienced this new life in Christ Jesus? If not, it's a wonderful day to start. It's a wonderful day to say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Will you be my Lord and Savior? Forgive me of my sins. And then your journey begins. Then you have the rest of your life and all of eternity to get to know him. What needs made new in you today? As you're journeying with Jesus, what needs made new in you today? Maybe you struggled with things in the past. Maybe you struggle with things currently. Maybe it's a new struggle. Maybe like, wow, I never struggled with this before. God, I need a renewed mind. God, I need a renewed heart. God, I need a renewed vision. God, I need new thinking. God, I need new understanding. God, I need new ways of doing things. I need new habits. I need new friends. I need new places to hang out. What do you need made new in you today? At the end of service, we're going to invite the prayer team forward and give you an opportunity to get prayed for, just like every Sunday. But maybe you would say today, man, I want some prayer because I need some newness in my life. And I haven't been journeying with Jesus. And today I understand that he's ready and willing to journey with me. And I want to partner with him in that. There's much we understand and don't understand about Jesus, his word, heaven and earth. But there's this place where heaven and earth overlap. We find this in Jesus' disciples asking him, well, like, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, well, this then is how to pray. He's teaching his disciples. He gets to this line in there. It says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the place where the supernatural happens, where earth and heaven overlap and the dimensions cross corners. And as we journey with Jesus, we operate within that sphere where the heaven and earth overlap. And that's where we get these miraculous happenings all around the world of what's going on. That's where heaven came to earth and the will of the Heavenly Father was done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see miracles and signs and wonders. I know there's a lot of mystery there and I don't understand it all, but I know I've seen enough in my life to say, yes, heaven can come to earth. God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. I would tell you that to build your faith, to believe along your journey with Jesus, the new you is possible. New ways of thinking, new ways of doing things, new ways of treating people, new ways of engaging in relationship, new ways of managing your time, your finances, your resources, new ways of treating people around you that they would feel the exceeding abundant love of Christ through you. That's available to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had this experience early in my guiding career. I hadn't been serving Christ for several years of my life. And I had this guest who I guided several years in a row, and he came back 1 year and he's like, what's up with you? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're different. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, something's weird about you. And I'm like, you have to get, like, I got a new hunting jacket. I got a new hat. I'm like, as we hunted along throughout the week, he's like, you're not who you used to be. Like, when I've come out here before, he's like, did you find religion? And then I was like, I'm a little slow. Okay, give me space. I finally got it. And I'm like, oh, I rededicated my life to the Lord this past year and told him I wanted to serve him and honor him with my life. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I did actually, and kind of shared with him a little bit about my story and journey. And he's like, well, I don't do that God stuff, so never talk to me about God again. But it should be evident, the new us, to where those around us see it. If they knew us before and know us now, they should see a difference. in how we act and how we respond and how we treat people and how we love people and how we engage in conversation and what we allow our eyes to see or not see and what we listen to or don't listen to. But the love of God, the Spirit of the living God inside of us, is the new us. And we have to let it shine. So go this week and journey with Jesus. Be his ambassador throughout the earth. Let the world around you know God's love, know God's grace, know God's kindness through your hands, through your words spoken, because that's what God has called us to do. Go into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples, sharing the goodness of God, and showing others how to do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are so merciful and gracious and kind. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are so loving and compassionate. Father, forgiving and gentle. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you look down on us, God, with love and care. God, you have our best future and hope in mind. And Father, we just ask that you would show each of us in the areas of our lives, God, that we need a new way, your way. Father, reveal to us as we go about our week, God, begin to, God, change and form within us, God, that we would be your great ambassadors, God, proclaiming your goodness, your love to the world around us, God, that we would be the light shining in the darkness, leading those who have been held captive for too long into the freedom, Father, that Christ has given to us, that he has paid for. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to partner with you in this. We thank you for your invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.